Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody, this is James. I just want to take a minute before we start the interview with Sasha Richardson that we forgot to mention that the name of her album until the very end of the episode. But her album is called Moon Street, and it's coming out May 24th on all available platforms. These are Spotify, Apple Music, and more. Her singles, though, it's April 5th with the song Self Care Song, so be sure to check that out. And May 10th, Angels With Me. They come out well before Moon Street, the full album. So make sure you check that out. So, all right. So sit back, enjoy this interview, and grab a cup of coffee or tea or whatever you have. And enjoy the episode. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the When Words Fail, Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. Today, we are joined by an amazing artist who is about to release an album.
here in just a few weeks, and the first single from the album is coming out like in a week, which I'm so excited. So Sasha, thank you so much for being here with us. I'm so excited to have you and to talk about your music and school and moving and all of the things. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so stoked that you're here. And you're like a new neighbor to me because you just moved.
Literally.
Yeah. Just a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Time moves so fast. Like it's been like 3 weeks now, but I feel like it was yesterday still. So.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all are exciting. Y'all are both in my hometown. So, hey, we're all Texans here, right?
Yes. Although, Sasha, you moved from Sweden, what, like 9 years ago, I guess? Did I get that right? 8 years?
Yeah, it was high school. 16 when I moved. And then now I live here. And I'm probably never going back to Sweden, honestly.
Well, I hope you go back to visit at least, maybe not to live.
No, I'll never live there, but I will probably go back a bunch of times. I mean, I'm going in May to release this album. So.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. And I'm sure the weather is a whole different experience than Texas.
I would honestly not be surprised if there's still snow when I go. So,
which you'll like by the time May hits here, you'll be like,
that's what everybody says. Snow. Everybody's so, like, oh my God, you will die of the weather in Texas in the summer. So
it takes some getting used to. It's not fun. It's not terrible. It's just the opposite of like, cause you were in Michigan before.
Yeah.
This, right.
Yeah.
So you're used to cold and snowy.
I feel like I thrive in the cold in a way, but then my boyfriend's from here. So then I went to visit Texas when it was like 115 degrees in August. And I didn't even know it could get that hot. Honestly, I was like shocked when I stepped off the plane. So
it's, when you get off a plane, it like hits you. Like, I mean, it is like a wall.
Like a door in the face. Yeah. It's just.
Oh, it's rough. We are just over here chatting, and James is just sitting there looking all cute.
Enjoying the conversation. No, okay, so you said that snowed in Sweden, right? Mm-hmm. I for one hate snow because I have cerebral palsy in my walk. I can't get through snow. But I haven't seen snowfall in years because it's been like a good 10 to 15 years since it's snowed in South Carolina where I'm at right now.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I don't need anybody that's been in the snow, you know?
Yeah.
But that's good. But I do have a question for you, though. Okay, so I started out this podcast. Welcome to the podcast world now, because this is the first podcast ever.
Yes, it is.
So honored to have you as our first people ever to interview you. First question is easy. What is your favorite genre of music right now?
Oh, my God. I think it's probably always been pop. Like, I'm just a pop girly through and through.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of an all-eater.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah,
pop has some good stuff in it. Yeah, for sure. You know? I mean, it's kind
of... And I can hear that in your music, too. So, like, who would be... Like, who do you pull from? Not necessarily like current, maybe like growing up, like who was the person that you like listened to that inspired you the most to become a pop star?
Oh my gosh. I've always loved America so much and like American pop stars. So Taylor Swift was really big for me. Like I loved her growing up, you know?
Oh, I feel like an hour talk about Taylor Swift coming from you and Amanda. And if Blake was here too, he would love
it. Oh yeah, their other co-host.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't even have words. Like, I just love Taylor Swift so much. I think she's a lyrical genius. And honestly, there's a lot of Swedish artists, you know, like I feel like the older I get, the more I look backwards into music. Like I love ABBA so much as a Swedish band.
Fantastic. Yes.
Like I know we're supposed to talk about this album, but I feel like my upcoming album is going to be very ABBA inspired because I just love it. Like, I think it's so timeless in a way.
Actually,
it absolutely is.
They've been gone for a while and they're recently just coming back. So I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah. No,
Go ahead.
No. I'm over here thinking about like my partner. He is a giant goofball and I love him so much. But I was FaceTiming my best friend who lives far away and we were at a bar because we were. And Dancing Queen came on and he is behind me like pretending to play the piano and singing on the like, and we ended up getting it recorded and it's because seeing like a grown 50-year-old man singing ABBA, it's amazing.
It just brings out the best in everyone.
It's for everyone.
Yeah, it really is.
And I kind of feel like that's like some of your music. I was maybe in the car with my 15-year-old son listening to your music. I guess your last album, but it's a GTFO. I think, is that the title
yes.
of it?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that song to death.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So like,
so good.
Yeah, my 15-year-old boy was like,
yes.
And then I looked over, and he was like,
makes me so happy.
He totally was like, never mind, you're not. And I'm like, oh, it's too late. It's all you.
Yeah.
So no, it's catchy. And I know that I'm a fan of the catchy, like the hook that you can remember.
Yeah.
Because it's those songs, I think, that like those like short, you know, several lines that are the ones that get stuck in your head.
Yeah.
That like are the ones that remind you of a time or a place, like when you heard that or the feeling that you get from that. So I love that.
Yeah. Like those. And like, I don't know. I feel like, sorry, not to cut you off or anything.
No, no, this is your time. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, whenever. So anyway, that's kind of where I'm at now, is like, I look back on a lot of music, but I feel like the number one artist that I always listen to and it always comes up in my Spotify Wrapped is Frank Sinatra. And that is so odd for me. It's an odd choice, but I think it's two of my tracks on this upcoming album with strings, just because I feel like, I don't know. Every time I listen to Frank Sinatra, it puts me in such a good mood. Like all the way from September to December, it's just Frank Sinatra for me. That's just my vibe.
That's not weird at all.
Frank Sinatra. But you gotta think about, like, that's 70 years old. Mm-hmm. Like that, you know, it's stood the test of time. It has. And so, man, I mean, what a great place to draw inspiration from is someone that, and you have a song called Blue Blue,
mm-hmm.
which talks about blue eyes. Yeah. And, you know, Frank Sinatra is like, is that where that came from?
No, it's actually not, but that is so cute that you say that, because that totally fits with that theme. I feel like Frank Sinatra has just been like a red thread through my whole life. Like, I don't know. But it actually is about my boyfriend who has blue eyes. But yeah, that's cute that you say that, because I never even realized that.
I didn't think of it until you were like Frank Sinatra, and then I remembered like the blue blue and the blue eyes and the
I feel like in the future I could do like a whole cover album of Frank Sinatra and like Ella Fitzgerald, and like I'm just a big fan of like that kind of music,
that's
with classic. A mix of pop, if that makes any sense.
100%, yeah, because I think when you mix those genres together too, like you take some of that like old world, like old school, like you said, the strings and the big vocals and all that, but then add it to the pop with those like hooks that get you and are fun to sing along to.
Yeah, exactly. And I just like, I just admire them so much, because they didn't have like all the, you know, technology that we have now to make music. Like, imagine how many times they had to re-record because somebody messed up, and you know, they just like probably live in that studio.
I know that one of my favorite stories that I tell people is about Led Zeppelin and they have, when they recorded Whole Lotta Love, there was some bleed through on the track, and that's where they decided to take that echo because,
Oh my God, I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's that I use it with, like, I work in mental health, and so we have messages that we tell ourselves, and it's that tape that gets stuck in our head, and whatever it is, I'm not good enough for whatever it, whatever that message is. And even when you change the message and learn something new, the old one can still bleed through. And I get the feeling like that that is a big part of what this album is. It's like,
yes, right? It really is. Like, I don't know, kind of like not jumping right into the deep part of the pool, I was going to say, but this album is just, I wrote it at honestly one of the worst times of my life, and losing all my friends and navigating the world with, like, just kind of alone without sisterhood. And it's like you said, like that track, like I like that because it's, yeah, like it was very much like, oh, I'm alone, or, you know, like I'm not good enough and all this stuff. And music, I just really like when words fail, music speaks, because that's true for me. Like, this whole album was written, and all the demos were written in my car, because I always go on car drives or car rides when I'm like upset and I'm crying in my car and I can barely like see the road, and I just bring my studio equipment into the car and I just like record. And it's just purely from like a healing point. Like, you write it out and then you can move on and you're like, I feel better. I've gotten it off my chest. It's truly magical.
I do have a question for you. So in 2021, you have a song called Don't Call Me Sister. Is that originally where it derives from?
Yeah. I definitely wrote that first, and it was released, and I kind of thought I was done with it. I thought, okay, I've written it out, I'm good. And then I was like, you know what? No, I'm not done with this. And then it became a whole another album. And now I'm done with it. But, you know, I've sat on this album for 2-3 years now, if not more. So it's ready to come out.
Yeah, because I've talked to a lot of musicians, and like 95% of the time, after they write the song, they feel so relieved that it's out there in the world. Do you have that same experience with writing songs too?
Absolutely. I feel like it's like you write it from in here, and then when you release it, it's kind of not even yours anymore. It's like, and I know a lot of artists say that like once they release it, it's kind of like you said, that it's off their chest and they're kind of just like done with it. And like, yeah, like right now, my stress level is 10 out of 10 because I'm so nervous for people to hear it. Oh, and I just know when I release it, I'm just going to be like a weird calm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah.
I hope so.
So when I was listening earlier, I was texting James, and I had to look up, it was like, there was a lyric that I texted him that I was like, I love this lyric, which is, even my wrong choices guide me.
Yes.
And so yeah. I often feel like we don't have, like we make mistakes, whatever, but everything is a place to learn from, right? Yeah. Like that, my wrong choices guide me. So obviously, like, the music journey, recording all of that, it's a lot of work. So what is like the thing that you did, I'm gonna say wrong, but not really wrong.
Yeah.
That you wish someone would have like come to you when you were getting started and said like, hey, I made this mistake, I don't want you to make this mistake. So, like, what would you tell someone starting? Like, this is the mistake that I made, I want to save you from that.
This is going to sound so meta, but it's honestly that every choice that you count as a mistake is, it's not a mistake. It's literally like a door you open. Like, every choice you make is another door, and it's not taking you off, you know, from your track to another one. It's like I was so nervous about like, oh my God, should I put this song on the album? Should I not? Is this a huge mistake? Like, I was just so worried about everything. I wish somebody would have told me like, it's just another choice. Like, it's just another door opening, and it's nothing that will take you from the path you're on now to a completely another one. You know what I mean? And like, the wrong choices guide me thing is like, I'm such a big believer in like, everything happens for a reason. And I think people are placed in your life to learn a lesson. And you might not even see that until years later. And that was what this whole album is for me, is that you might trust the wrong people. You might, you know, love the wrong people. And you might not understand like, oh my God, why did this just happen to me? That was the biggest mistake of your life. And then 3 years later, you're like, I learned so much from that. And that was all I needed to know. And I won't make that mistake again, even if it probably wasn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So kind of get out of your head, just do the thing that feels right and trust it. Cause it's,
I love, right, yeah, thing. I love how that, I just rambled on for so long.
But all that you said got the, but I love that because it, I think there's so much truth in that, but like it's,
yeah,
you what, have whatever to you do is, well, that's right. That's where we learn, like you said. And yeah, like the choices we make are the choices we make.
Yeah.
Period. It's, I mean, so.
It's just another choice.
Yeah.
It's really not that deep sometimes, you know? Like, I overthink so hard on everything. It's just, you can just let go. Well, and just go with your gut.
Well, I think that's a natural instinct to overthink, because I think, oh, I overthink a lot of stuff too. And when it's not needed at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did I have to overthink this? You know, I mean, it's just place the thing here and done, you know? So yeah. I agree with you on that one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So.
I like that you like Sasha, that
one. Yeah.
I have like a question for you, because we talked before we started recording, like time gets away from you. And then you talked about driving in your car and loving that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two things that I love. And then through my research, like one, like time blindness is a thing. But also driving is a great way to like dissociate and calm your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of, especially women with ADHD, love road trips and driving. I was going to ask, you have ADHD. I'm just curious, because I think that, and I know there's people out there like, oh, it's, everyone's talking about it. It's, you know, everyone has it. That's not actually true. I think that we just know more about it now. And so I'm going to like ask this question. How has music, whether writing it or listening to it, helped you stay focused on whatever you're doing in the moment?
Honestly, it feels like it just like eats up my attention span. Like if I'm writing a song and I'm really into it, like I don't know if 6 hours have gone by or 30 minutes. And that's one of my favorite things about music. Like if I'm sitting at the piano, I am just sitting at the piano. Like, I don't know, with ADHD especially, or just my brain maybe, everything, I'm thinking of every single possible thing that's happening all the time. Mm. And like, I don't know, music, and when I drive and especially when I sing, it's just quiet in my brain. And I love that. It scratches my brain in like the most perfect way.
I get that. I'm going, I'm going to visit a friend and I are meeting in Nashville in a couple weeks, and I'm like super excited. And I made the decision to drive instead of fly. Now it's a 10-hour drive, but I'm like, I would rather spend 10 hours in the car than the flight, just because that, like that alone time, oh, and I can listen to whatever music I want because no one else is in the car with me.
I can agree with you on that one. Cause the plane rides is like 5 hours, and car rides are like 15 hours. And then you're like, I want to listen to music. Yes, let's do it. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
People look at you weird when you sing really loudly in the middle of a plane, especially me, because I'm not a great singer.
I mean, but we drove down from Michigan to Texas now that we moved, and that was like 25 hours in the car. And I mean, split it up. Like we stopped in a couple spots, but I was riding down with my dad. And honestly, it was the most bonding experience I've had with my dad in so long, because I was like, show me all the songs that you listened to as a teenager. Because something that I learned a long time ago was that the first choice you make, like the first musicians you listen to when you're like 12 or 13, like stays with you for a really long time because it is the first choice. Like, you know, before then you listen to whatever your parents listen to or, you know, and the first music you choose is so impactful for the rest of your life. So I really wanted to know, it, like, to me, it says a lot about a person. And for like 25 hours, I listened to everything that my dad listened to. And it was just so like amazing. Like he showed me all of Genesis and he showed like, he is just a huge, like, yeah, like it was just like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I saw all these memories come up for him that he's like, oh, I had this record and I listened to this record here and whatever. And it's just like, yeah, I feel like everything, I always loved asking people that. It just says a lot about a person.
So what was your favorite, what was your dad's favorite band of all time or like
Genesis?
Then, okay, perfect.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, he loves Genesis. And that was, it was so fun. Yeah. It was amazing.
It's a great. Now, is your dad Swedish too, or?
He's like Swedish and English. Like my grandpa grew up in England and then my grandma grew up in Sweden and then they moved over and everything. But my dad has been like, he grew up in Brazil. He grew up in the United States and then moved to Sweden. And then now we're back here. So we just move everywhere.
Awesome. I mean, it's, you're citizens of the world, not just a country. I think that's amazing. And is your mom here as well? Or is she in Sweden or both? Or
no, they actually live in Nevada right now.
Now you're closer that you're here than you were.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm really happy to be closer to them, honestly, because where I'm from or like where I used to live is almost in Canada. Like it's more north than Toronto. So, I mean, like sometimes when I see the United States map, like we're not even in there, like where I'm from in Michigan. So it's like they have like two gates at the airport where in Marquette and it takes, you have to take an hour plane. They do it twice a day. Like it's just a whole thing. And then DFW airport, you can literally go anywhere in the world from here. It is absolutely bonkers. Like I just, it's insane living in a big city.
Yeah. So I'm very curious about your writing technique.
Yeah.
Like, because I know most bands write either they write the music first and then the lyrics later, or they do the opposite, lyrics first, music later. Which one do you find more interesting, I guess you would say, to write, to, you know?
I do both pretty, like, it mixes. But the one that I found the most inspiring is that when I hear like a phrase or, you know, like if somebody says something or if I just hear somebody talk about something, I immediately have to, excuse me, write it down. And then from there it becomes like, and it's all like 99% of the time, it's the title. I'm a big title girl. Like I love long titles. I love interesting titles. And they're all in my phone. As soon as I hear it, I'm like, that's the title.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's always where it is. 98% of the time where it starts for me.
Yeah. Cool.
Sorry, my cat's here. Just
we love it.
Do you have some dogs that, you know, that
I have three dogs.
Yeah.
I was like, kids, get the dogs today. Like, make them. So I know that James had, when we were texting, he, like, that the self-care song, right? That's, like, the new mm-hmm. one that's coming out. So, like, where, how did that song, like, become a song? Like, what got that here?
So self-care song started from, I was in a weird place. I was very much, like, worried about what other people were saying about me and went through a tough situation where I was just, it was a lot of chatter around me. And I kind of was like, no, like, I don't care. I have my truth and what I think happened. And I just need to shut everyone else out and just take a bath, put a face mask on, drink some champagne, and just like chill. And I did. And then I started humming the song, which I didn't even realize was going to be the song. And I just instantly started saying like self-care song, like singing self-care song. And then I was like, that's a song. And that's where it was born. And I literally never looked back. I was like, it was born out of the place of me being upset at a situation. And then there it was right in front of me.
I love that.
Yeah.
So like that chatter, and I know like you are all over all the social media, you know, platforms. Mm-hmm. You've got over 500,000 followers in all the different places.
Yes.
And I think that social media is fantastic and awful at the same time.
Yes, very much.
So, you know, and I have teenagers. So like, what do you tell people who start hearing like the nasty shit from people, nasty stuff? Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Sorry for that. What do you tell, like, when it's like the nasty, like the words are just, you know, like, what have you learned?
That the people that are doing things and the people that are creative, they know that you look at, well, at least for me, like, when you start creating stuff, you look at other people who are creating stuff with a lot kinder eyes. It's usually the people that aren't brave enough to put themselves out there that have a lot to say. And for me, I'm like, well, if you can't put yourself out there and you can't, you know, speak your truth and whatever it is, like, I don't really want to hear it, because it takes a lot of guts to put yourself out there. And when you look at other people that have the courage to do that, you kind of just applaud them for that. Like, I have never, not once, seen a hate comment from somebody that I respect. And, you know, if I don't want to take advice from them, I don't take criticism from them either.
Right.
That's kind of my vibe.
I love that.
I do have a question about your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Yeah. So
hit me with it.
Go to Little Makeup Mania.
Oh my God. I chose that name when I was like 14.
That's awesome, because I've never heard of it before. I was like, yes, dude. But you do have some stories about your high school days, and you do have your music videos from your past. What I want to know, and what this falls into music wise, is you had a stalker. I think it was in like high school or something, right? I think it was, maybe.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like. Huh.
Okay. Oh,
Simon, was that no? Did I make that up?
No. No. okay. So my
bike. Sorry.
You're fine. No, I feel like all of my story times were like such a big hit for me. And then I found songwriting, and I kind of like found a new way to storytell, because that's the thing too, is that every time I'd make a story time, I would always be super worried that the people that I make stories about would get upset. And it happened 10 out of 10 times. And when you write music, it's kind of different, because you, like, I'm just a chatterbox. Like, I just need to get it out in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, like, when you write music, it's kind of like a different thing. Like, people don't get as mad at you for it, because honestly, you don't also like tell the whole truth in a way that you do when you're just like sitting and talking, you know?
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, my other question is, okay, so beginning in the music industry now, well, you've always been, but is there any, like, one particular story that's a good story And do you have any like other like not stalker stories, but I mean, like, do you have like good and bad memories of fans coming to you, or I like
oh my god, yes, okay. So many. Wait, hang on, okay. One second. I have to pause this. Okay, there we go. Sorry, that's my bad. Yeah. So when I used to make YouTube videos, like I love when people come up to me just in general. Like the most recent one, like I just really like when people come up to talk to me and take a picture. Like I'm always down. Like I think it was last year when I was in Stockholm, like this girl and her friend came up to me just like on the street, and we were talking for so long, and I was just so happy because she said, oh, I used to watch your YouTube videos, and like I really like, you were a big part of my childhood and growing up, and I used to always watch your videos like getting ready for school. And it makes me so happy, you know, because also at the time I was a teenager, very insecure, and I was very like, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends. And to hear that young girls and or anyone like found me to be a friend of theirs, like even though I didn't know it at the time, it kind of warms my heart, because little Sasha did not know how many people she reached at that time. And so I'd say 99% of the time I have a very positive interaction with people that I meet. The one time that I didn't, I'll never forget this. Okay. Oh my gosh, I will never forget this. I was at a public pool with my class. This was in Sweden, and I think I was in 9th grade. We were like in the changing room, and I was like standing in a towel, and this girl came up to me and was like, can I take a picture with you? And I was like, can I get some pants on? Like, it was just so strange. And till this day, I think about that. I'm always like, I kind of command her confidence, because that is some real bravery. Yeah. To walk up to somebody in the changing room.
Yeah, well, fans really are really bold most times. And yeah, those are the fans you want to stay away from. I totally, you know. And yeah, I've heard some horror stories, but I heard some more positive stories than bad stories, you know, dealing with, you know, musicians and everything. So, good. Yeah. So, I guess that could be weird, you know. I mean, but do you find yourself, I guess you find yourself running into more positive fans than, right?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I feel like they're always very kind. Like, you know, it was more when I was a teenager, I feel like. But, you know, I don't really, like, looking back, I'm always, you know, I have more compassion, because being a teenager is so tough in general. And if I was the person that they made fun of to get through a hard time, like, go right ahead, be my guest. I don't care now. Back then, it was had a little sting to it, but... You know, it is mostly very positive.
I know, like, James and I are a little older than you. More than a little, but...
And then you'll automatically know if you want
to. Yeah, I was... we'll just say that, like, I was born in the 70s, barely, but still in the 70s. But so I grew up without social media, without even, like, digital...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there are no pictures. Like, all the pictures of me from like high school and college are like photographs with film, and so there's no, you know. So, but now, like, people can if they want, pick and choose what pieces of you they want to show the world, right? Like, it's so easy to splice things together. Have you had that experience where people have like done icky things with your stuff without your permission, and or have you been lucky?
Like, I don't know, when I was, you know, starting like YouTube, it was tough because a lot of people would pick on me, and like, especially in school, they would like, you know, put my videos up and play it in classrooms, or they would play my music, because I did music even back then. And they would play it and like tease me for it and whatever. And like I said, it's always coming from the people that aren't brave enough to put themselves out there.
Exactly.
So, you know, when it hurts, it does, obviously, especially when you're a teenager and you're unsure of yourself and you're trying to kind of just like, you're like, oh, well, maybe this is fun. And, you know, I don't even know. It always comes from those people that they have a lot to say until they get up on stage.
I've come to the conclusion that people don't want you to be successful because they're not in your shoes. And they see you successful and they're not, they're wondering why. So that's why they hate on you. I mean, truth be told, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a sad reality of it all, you know?
Misery loves company. Yeah.
There you go. You have friends that you think they are there for you, but sometimes they're really not there for you. They're for what you can do for them, you know? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, that was a big thing that I went through for writing this album. Yeah. Removing yourself from situations that don't serve you.
I love that. Now on your, you kind of touched on, like you did like a lot of the get ready with me, makeup stuff, story time. And now like you're more music kind of base. So how do you find that balance of like sharing your music, but also sharing those parts of you, that story time, the outfits, the, you know, all of those pieces.
Yeah.
But also makeup.
Well, I always wanted to do music. That's always been my number one thing. When I was younger, I was a little bit more scared to do it. I feel like I wasn't ready like to release music. I was so young as well, but now, I still love makeup. I still love all things beauty and things like that and whatever. It's kind of like just an afterthought, though, now. Like, mainly now it's my music and sharing my art and stuff. The main thing is that there are so many more talented people that live for makeup and they live for hair and fashion and whatever. And I live for music. And so I kind of like, you know, when I find a cute outfit, like I'll share it and whatever, but that's not where my heart lies. Like my heart will always just sit in the studio and that's where I thrive.
I love it.
Also, like you leave that space open for the music or for the makeup and clothes and whatever people, so they can leave that space open for you.
I mean, I have so many friends. Yeah, exactly. Like I have so many friends in the beauty industry and whatever, and I applaud them so hard. Like, go you do that. Like, I am not as talented as them, and that we all have our special niche little thing. Mine is just listening to Frank Sinatra and being in the studio.
I think that's a great place to be. Studios and Frank Sinatra. That sounds awesome. And in the car. And honestly, like, it seems like the car would be a great place to record, like silent, you know, it's relatively soundproof and not echoey.
You get a lot of weird looks, but if you find like a remote place, like I used to always sit in front of Lake Superior and like on one of those little beaches and whatever with a car and we're in my car and I'd have the whole studio set up just kind of like, you know, not super well, like you kind of have to balance things and it's all fun and games until somebody pulls up and they're like taking their dog for a walk and they're like, they look over and they see me like belting into this mic and I just have to be like, hey, like, so that's a little weird, but it is a good place.
I mean, you kind of talked about this before, like you do you, right? Like that's what makes you happy. And, you know, people judge you, then that's on them, not really about you. I think that's a great message for younger people. You know, the, like the self-care song is the name of that song. One of the questions I always ask singers is, what do you do to take care of your like vocal health? because we talk about mental health and physical health, but vocal health is like a thing that it gets missed a lot by musicians, yeah. But also like the people don't think about that as part of being a musician.
Yeah. And my voice always gets so messed up when I'm on an airplane. So I like, and because when I travel a lot back and forth, like that is my number one thing. Thank God for me, because I love tea so much. Like I love hot tea. I probably drink 10 pots of tea a day. So for me, I have a constant just like influx of warm water. That's my number one thing, honey. And also like hot showers, you know, and
those like work, all yeah. the things. Have
like,
you tried,
it sounds like
have you ever tried pineapple juice? I've heard that really works for like a lot of things.
No.
You swear by it. Pineapple
oh
juice.
Oh my God.
I'm
going to try that. Because like I said, like every time I get off an airplane, I'm like.
Yeah, but yeah, pineapple juice.
It's all, it sounds like hydration, like that dry air, the like that's, that is the thing that gets in your way. If you want to call it that. But tea, I love tea. I don't know if you can see, but like behind my desk, like I have a tea kettle and like a whole thing of like tea bags right here. It's a problem. Addiction. James loves his coffee. Of all the things to like love, it's Earl Grey tea and peppermint tea are like my things.
I'm strictly Earl Grey tea. Like I love Earl Grey. It's my one thing. But that's like all I consume, I feel like.
Hydration is important, period, for people. Like I stand by this all the way. And so whatever way you can hydrate your body, like do it. If that's tea, even coffee, I know that like people, it's caffeine. No, you're still hydrating. Just drink water.
Earl Grey
tea,
is
whatever.
Very caffeinated as well. So I don't judge, but also like
caffeinated than coffee.
It probably is.
I don't know.
I still love coffee though, but it's just tea is my number one thing. But like, other than that, it's like not singing 2 hours after you wake up. That's like, and also, you know, doing vocal exercises when you warm up and things like that, not just like breaking out belting. I used to do that so much when I was a teenager. I was like, oh, I have pipes of steel. And I swear to God, that is why I'm cursed now, that every time I get off an airplane, I'm like, have a tough time. So I called it.
So what that sounds like is take time to take care of your vocal cords and rest them, as well as nurture them with warm water, honey, whatever. But right, like, don't overuse them and take time before you start using it. Like, warm up and be gentle with yourself.
I'm sure you can do a lot more things. Those are like the three things that I stick to. Like I swear by a hot shower, just like scalding hot shower and tea.
So we have your song, Self-Care Song, coming out April 5th. Is there any other projects, upcoming projects other than your, do you have any other projects besides your album coming out that your fans can look forward to?
I'm going to Sweden in all of May, actually, to release this album. I'm going to have a release party. I'm going to do 2 gigs, singing my album and everything. And that's kind of it for now. Like, I'm putting all my energy into this album release. You know, it's coming soon. It's in May. Like, I am...
is there anything else happening in May that's exciting besides your album release for you? Like walking a stage, is that coming in May or?
Because
you said you're graduating soon. I'm like,
I'm also graduating college. I was like, awesome. Yeah.
I was like, maybe next year you just said that you were done.
I can't even believe it. I was just like laser focused on my album. Yeah. I'm graduating college with a bachelor degree in economics. It's been.
I love the balance of right and left brain that's happening there with economics and music.
I mean, Jesus, I don't know how we even got here, but I'm happy we got through it because, yeah, I'm going to be flying up, walking the stage, and then the next day I'll be flying to Sweden to release my album. So
what you're saying is during May, lots and lots of hot showers and tea are in the future.
Pineapple juice for work.
And pineapple juice.
And maybe, yeah, good for the...
I'm trying that out, James, 100%. Okay.
All right, yeah, you gotta let me know because I've always wondered about that because I interviewed a world renowned vocal coach is her name, yeah,
vocal coach, yeah,
Judy Rodney, and she told me that pineapple juice works wonders for everybody.
So, I'm so happy you told me that. Yeah. I'm definitely gonna try that out. I'll let you know how that works.
Yeah. But, maybe you won't even need like 30 cups of tea or something, you know, every day.
Maybe it'll be 30 cups of pineapple juice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just be hydrated all of May.
All the hydration. Yeah. I think, yes, that's spectacular. And you'll get lots of sunlight, which in May in Sweden, I'm sure, right? Like, is it? Yeah,
well,
right?
Like, especially where I come from in Sweden, we, in the summertime, we have like 22, 23 hours of sunlight. And then in the winter, 23 hours of darkness. So that's honestly one thing that I'm excited about Sweden is that you walk home at night and it's just bright out. Like, you feel like it's like 2 p.m. It's so strange.
Wild to me. Yeah. But in the other way, the dark, that would drive me nutty.
It's awful.
I need the sun, like the sun. I mean, the vitamin D, that seasonal affective disorder, like it's a thing.
Oh my God.
Like we all need the sun.
Oh, it's 100% a real thing. That's why I'm happy to be here. Yeah.
So we do have one final question. Are you?
Yeah.
And this question may be the hardest one yet. I'm not sure if it's... Well,
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous at all. Great question. Because it's your question. It's your answer. Can you name me an artist, album, or song that you can listen to by yourself? But you can't tell me or Amanda or your dad or your mom how it makes you feel deep inside your soul.
I have so many I can't even begin. But yeah, I think, I honestly think that's Frank Sinatra for me. It like places a calm in me that I can't even, the fact that I'm still listening to his music so many years after it's been released, like stood the test of time. And it honestly all started for me writing or reading a book on a plane. And I was like, oh my God, I'll listen to this like calm playlist. And I've been obsessed with it. I have a quote from one of his songs in my upcoming album. I don't know why, but it's just magical to me. Like it's my all-time inspiration, I think. Yeah. It's so not a choice.
Well, I think Frank Sinatra is like one of a like one in a million, because to me, you have to really listen close to understand what he's saying, and it's good music too, you know, because he's one of the artists.
Yeah, it's so simple.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like the one.
Is there anything else that you want the world to know about you, your upcoming album? Are you going on tour in the United States or anything like that?
Oh my God, I wish. We don't have anything planned now. My team and I are just focused on this release. What I want to say is, I guess if you've lost friends, if you've you know, gone through a lonely time in your life, this album is for you because I wrote it at the loneliest time of my life to soothe my sorrows of feeling lonely and like finding the strength in yourself that like, okay, you know, I can do this. I have a song. I have a song on the album called No Friends Are Better Than Fake Friends. And that is the one song that I listen to constantly. Like till this day, I listen to it. Well, now I'm singing it all the time because I'm performing, but that is my one song that I listen to. And yeah, I think you'll be very happy with this album if you've been through a rough time.
That's such a great title.
So excited. Yes, I love that.
I love that title.
Yeah.
And can you tell friends once again when they're coming out and what's the album called again?
The album, oh my gosh, I've never said it before. It's called Moon Street and it's coming out May 24th. And I have two singles coming before that. And yeah. I'm so excited. I've been sitting on this album for so long and it's ready to be presented to the world.
I can tell you're ready and I think the world is ready for it too. Cause I'm Yay. Like your excitement makes me so excited. And with your other music, I just cannot wait to hear what you have to say to the whole world with these songs and to help soothe other people's souls like it soothed yours. Yeah. So thank you for your talent like and it. Soul with everyone.
All right.
Such a gift.
So for everybody listening on YouTube or this podcast episode, you can visit Sasha at TikTok. She's on TikTok as Sasha Richards. She's on Instagram under Sasha Richardson, which is weird. Which fair enough because I never got the same handle, you know, also.
It was too long for TikTok.
Yeah, but it is.
They cut me off.
They don't like long stuff, you know. So we mentioned her YouTube channel, which you should go with her music videos and her makeup and send her new stories. It's at youtube.com/littlemakeupmania. You learned she created that when she was, 13, you said?
Yeah, I was so young.
Yeah. And, of course, you can stream her music on Apple Music, Deezer, Spotify, and a whole lot more. Hopefully.
YouTube Music. Yeah, I think it was like all the places.
I don't know them
all. The places.
All the fun places.
Please check her out. She's like, I loved it. It was amazing. So please listen to it. It's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you, Sasha, so much for being here with us and sharing some of you and your story and all of it. It's been wonderful getting to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun experience. I hope I wasn't just like talking like crazy.
First podcast ever, which is great because there'll be.
Yeah, yes, we're so happy.
First podcast.
You'll have thousands more.
Oh, yeah.
So we're so grateful that you shared this with us. So thank you so much for being here.
And with that said, everybody, thank you everybody for listening. And always remember when words fail,
music speaks.
Bye, guys.